joining In Conversation with Rashmi on CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. My guest in studio this morning is Dr. Jody Rosner and Leah Omen and Ellen Brisley. But first, the guest for this morning is Dr. Jody Rosner. Dr. Rosner is an assistant professor with McMaster University teaching pediatrics to medical students and to the pediatric residents in our own local program. Her practice is quite diverse, and she has an outpatient office where she sees a wide variety of patients. At Grand River Hospital, she is one of the pediatricians, part of the POGO Pediatric Oncology Group of Ontario, where she cares for the children of KW with cancer. In addition, Dr. Rosner has a pediatric diabetic clinic inspired by the children with cancer who she cared for. Some of them who have lost their battle to cancer, she took her love and hobby of running and turned it into a charity. Thank you so much, Dr. Rosner, for joining me in studio this morning. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having me as well.
To begin with, what inspired you to start the Kitchener Kids with Cancer Run and Walk?
Yeah, it's quite a convoluted story how everything had come together and pieced together. I started taking care of kids with cancer first day that my practice opened. In fact, the first day that my practice opened was my very, very first patient was a young boy who had a very rare liver cancer. And my first day was supposed to be sitting back on my desk with my feet up going, oh my gosh, I've made it, look at this. But I had to open up because I had this consult for this boy who I was quite worried about. And I spent the whole day with him. And in the end, he did lose his battle to this cancer, but he was very entwined with my own family as well. He went to lived in my neighborhood, and his siblings, and he went to the same school as my children. And when he was palliative and I was doing home visits for about a year, I'd have to take my children with me for these visits. So they became very entwined. And the long and the short of it is these kids go through hell. They go through torture from the chemotherapy. Their family goes through hell. In the end, then, I started running later in life and ran my first half marathon. Mm-hmm. And that half marathon was super inspirational. I was inspired by signs that people were carrying on the side. There were women firefighters running this half marathon in full gear with an oxygen tank on their back.
Wow.
And then I just, as you struggle during those runs, I thought, man, and I kept coming back to that first patient, Mark, and a subsequent patient named Noah. And I kept thinking, if they could go through all of what they did, surely I can get my butt across this finish line. Mm-hmm. So they kept inspiring me. And I saw all of these people at this run, and I thought, wow, wouldn't it be great to bring a whole bunch of people together for pediatric cancer and raise the awareness of pediatric cancer and funding at the same time? So I planned the whole event during the remainder of the run.
Wow.
And at the end of the run, I approached the people who put that run together. Mm-hmm. And we met. And here we are 6 years later with the run for Kitchener Kids with Cancer.
You also do the walk with the run, right?
Correct.
It's not just people who can run who need to participate in this event.
Correct. And I thank you for mentioning that, because our event is quite unique in that it is a walk run. So there's a 5 kilometer walk or run and a 10 kilometer run. And as a runner, it was important for me to have the actual 10 kilometer and get people out running. I wanted to attract all of those people. But in the same extent, I wanted the kids that had cancer to come out to this event as well and walk with their families. So our event is very much a family event. Mm-hmm. We have the Kitchener Rangers that come out, and some very touching pictures with them crossing the finish line with children on their shoulders as they're coming.
Wow.
Or pulling the wagon of the children that are unable to walk because of the chemotherapy that they've had. So it's quite a unique event. And the vibe that you get from this event is a bit different, quite a bit different than most other run-walk events.
Mm-hmm. So What does Pogo do?
Yeah. So let me backtrack a little bit to speak of why I chose Pogo to be the beneficiary of this fundraiser. Sure. So many people don't realize that when, for example, the Cancer for Life, the Run for Relay, all of these great cancer organizations, the majority of that money goes to adults with cancer. Pediatric cancer gets very little of that funding. Even in our own Grand River local hospital, the pediatric patients get very little of that. Mm-hmm. I'm a pediatrician. I wanted to make sure that the money went to the kids. I was very, very specific about that. So Pediatric Oncology Group of Ontario, I thought, would be a perfect fit for us. Mm-hmm. This is an organization that provides financial support for families. They provide nurses that can come into the homes to help with some of the transition care for kids. But they also provide research into new therapies. And just this year, we've started some implementation of some of the new research with that area. They also provide funding for a clinic at our own hospital, Grand River, so that they have a satellite clinic. So when children are initially diagnosed, they go to a tertiary care center, which means a bigger center like Hospital for Sick Children, McMaster, or London. And rather than having our local children travel this hour to 2 hours plus every day, they can actually come and get chemotherapy assessments, treatments at our hospital in our satellite Pogo clinic.
Wow.
So Pogo gives a lot of money to our community. And out of Ontario, yes, it is an Ontario program, but our local area takes a lot of money from Pogo. So it ended up being a perfect fit. And we've actually become the largest fundraiser, community fundraiser for Pogo, actually.
So in the last 6 years, you've also seen the growth in the number of participants who have come in and supported this cause.
Yes.
And how has that changed? Because these kids go through a lot. The families go through a lot. They struggle through financial commitments, and you must be seeing that day to day.
Absolutely. Yeah. So a couple of questions there. To see how this race has grown is just wild. It just is a testimony to the wonderful community that we do live in. We are so gracious for that. The first year of this race, we had 136 people, and we were started in the back of the hospital in the doctor's parking lot.
Wow.
There was no affiliation with the hospital at all. We were doing this all on our own, literally in the back of the doctor's hospital. And we raised $17,000. And we thought, wow, that's great. Each year we've continued to grow, and I hear from corporations that they're actually approaching us now to be sponsors of our event, and we've grown over these years. So now last year, we now obviously with our growth have had to change to our venue, so we're kind enough to have the support from the Ken Sealing Waterloo Region Museum, where this event will help take place, and they donate to the facilities for us. And last year we had 576 participants, and we anticipate over 600. So that growth is crazy. We went from 17,000 in the first year to over 68,000 last year. So we have a total the 5 years of 250,000. So just incredible. We've been super fortunate to have Madame Homes be our title sponsor from day one. And they've actually approached us this year, giving us more money to help with the promotion of this event as well. So the growth of our event, I think, has helped continue to make it grow.
Absolutely.
To answer the second piece of your question about the financial struggles for families, you're right. It is a problem. These kids vary in age. Some of them can be infants, a lot of toddlers, a lot of 2, 3, 4 year olds, which is one of the common ages of a leukemia diagnosis, but we go right up into adolescence as well. And you can only imagine as a parent, that is the absolute worst news that you could ever possibly hear.
Absolutely.
And parents have a sinking feeling that something is wrong with their kid, but to hear the doctor tell them, I think your child has leukemia or cancer, it's awful. And so there's a lot of mental stress and anguish that goes along with such a diagnosis. You're watching your kids suffer initially with the symptoms of the presentation of their disease, but then with the symptoms of what we as a medical community are doing to to this child to try and fight this disease. Sure. It comes with finger pokes and, you know, putting in a portacath, which is a permanent IV under the skin, doing lumbar punctures, which are needles in the back of the spine. And a kid doesn't know about these things, and many times kids are held down for these, and it's very hard for families. So there's the huge emotional toil. There's also these kids, if they're school age, they're missing school, they're missing soccer, they're missing dance, they're missing gymnastics, they're missing building friendships with their friends and to school. And because of our therapies, they're often getting sick with fevers and other illnesses.
Because the immunity is so low after, right?
Exactly. So parents either are always calling in sick at work, or one or both of the parents have to give up their job in order to care for their child. So there's a huge financial toll. Plus, they do, as much as we give as much therapy as we can here locally, they do have to go to the London McMaster or Toronto, and there's the cost of food, accommodations, gas, and parking. So lots of out-of-pocket expenses that aren't covered by OHIP for that. So thankfully, POGO is able to help out with families in that regard as well.
And the parents who go through those emotions and struggles with financial, they must be having a lot of mental stress as well. So what kind of support, besides the fundraising, does POGO help them with counseling or support with other families that they can connect with? So like a support group?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know, to be honest, if they have an actual support group, but they do have Interlink Nursing that comes in and acts as a transition person from the tertiary to the community. And I feel that they do a lot of that navigation for them. And just by the center that we do have, our satellite pediatric oncology center, it's in a separate area of the hospital that's segregated from the other piece of it. So we do see that families meet and chit chat in the back of that room. And I know when I'm seeing those patients there, it's more than just their disease or their cancer. I'm always trying to get to know them. So I will sit down and I will speak to them about the new puppy that they got that ate their floor, or their graduation. And it brings in some of the other families again, and then so when I walk away, they do bond a little bit with that as well.
And for parents who have lost a child, that's a whole different emotional turmoil that everybody surrounding them go through. How does this event help them? Because they also come and participate in this, right?
They do. You know, I could not imagine the what they have to go through. The thought of that is just awful. To give an example, I have several people on the committee that have either survivors of cancer or their child has died of cancer. And I spoke of Noah. He is a young boy who did lose his battle to leukemia. And I had been there on the day that he died and doing home visits for him as well. And he was one of the people in the race that kept coming back to me. And I wanted his picture on our volunteer shirts. And I was afraid initially to call his parents because I wasn't sure what the thought or sound of my voice would even do to them. In the end, the mom jumped at the opportunity and joined the committee, and they've been very pivotal in participating and making this run a success. And I feel that for many of the individuals, it is a way to remember their child and to give back, and just to have be surrounded by other people who would remember as well. That very first year, people came up to me whose children had died several years past, and they, you know, they came up, "I don't know if you remember so and so," and I'm like, "Of course I remember." And we just stood in the back of the doctor's parking lot crying and hugging each other. So it's I feel that this race is more than just a race. It's more than just the raising money to help these kids, but it's a memorial for them as well.
Sure. And how can the community in KW help support these families? In what way do you think they can, you know, be a part of it if they want to.
So involved in the race per se, we are good for volunteers for this year, but on September 9th, the day after the race, if people wanted to reach out, we're happy to have volunteers. We're always looking for community sponsors. Mm-hmm. We are looking for prizes and participants. Just coming out to the event, mm-hmm. wearing your gold ribbon. September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, which is why the race is in this month. Wear your gold ribbon in support of these children. Mm-hmm. I think that goes a long way. Mm-hmm. Helps educate our community about childhood cancer.
And that's another part I was going to ask, was the education part. Where can people read and understand? Isolation plays a huge part in these families too. Everybody around them are there to support, but don't quite understand how much goes into it. They have to quit their job, like you said. One of the family members has to. They have to care for their child all through day and night and watch them in pain. So how does that work? How does that support and isolation part work?
Yeah, super question. You know, there's something that I have learned over the years is cancer attacks fantastic people. The families that I have met are truly the most incredible families. They have incredible family supports and friends, but I don't know, to be honest, truly, that anybody else, even myself, and I've been there intimately in the home when families have lost their child, mm-hmm. we will never know what those families are going through and mm-hmm. how it is affecting them. Like, everybody is going to be individual, and that pain that each person is mm-hmm. going through is completely individual. Mm-hmm. It really, like, affects all of their lives. So I feel that these families seem to have all a good support group around them. Mm-hmm. Their families are typically very supportive in that.
And you've been involved in their lives and their treatments. How has that changed you, or how has that affected mm-hmm. you? The emotions that go through plays a huge part.
It sure does. There's good days and bad. I shed many a tear with my families as well. I have found different outlets. The running has been a good outlet for me. Friends have been good as well. And then my own children as well. And mm-hmm. just seeing things through their eyes as well. And, you know, just to give you an example of how it affects my life and my family's life mm-hmm. as well. So that patient, Noah, unfortunately died on his mom's birthday and my son's birthday.
Oh my goodness.
So we were celebrating my son's birthday. Mm-hmm. My kids knew that there was someone that I was caring for who was dying of cancer, but of course they don't know his name or anything mm-hmm. because of confidentiality reasons. But I left the birthday party and I came back and everybody had left the birthday cake and the presents for me, but had cleaned up like everything else for the party. Mm-hmm. And my kids just really rallied around. Nobody had any negative comment. They all were, "Are you okay? Is the family okay?" Mm-hmm. The next day when it was in the newspaper, my daughter came up to me and she said, "Oh, that was Noah that you were taking care of." Like, they make all of these connections. And to this day, the kids are seeing that you do have to give back and that they are lucky and that they are blessed. And so my mm-hmm. daughter is at the water table of the race every year since the inception. And mm-hmm. my son will race it. And he's off at university, so can't help out with mm-hmm. some of the nitty-gritty mm-hmm. stuff, but comes back to run it and to support it and to spread the word of it as well. So it affects my whole family.
Yeah, and it puts a lot of perspective for them as well, right?
It does, yeah.
And understand what those families go through and how they see life would also change.
Exactly. Yeah.
And when is the next race?
So the next race is Sunday, September the 8th.
Okay.
Just next weekend.
So where can they sign up for this race?
So our website, kwrunforpogo.com, you can register for the race there. You can, if you're not able to come out to run it, you can donate to a participant or a team right on our website as well.
And what time does the race begin?
The race starts at 9 and and we're there at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning getting things all set up. We'll have bands, we have face painters, the Star Wars characters are coming out, Deadpool's coming out. So we have lots, we've got a face painter, so there'll be lots of entertainment for people to stay afterwards and mingle and share their memories of other families, or just come out and run and support and learn about these kids. Pogo will have a booth there as well to help educate as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure having you, Dr. Rosner. You are an inspiration to many, and thank you for sharing your journey with us. Good luck with the race.
Thank you.
We look forward to it.
Thank you. Yes, thank you for having me today.
And stay tuned. I will be right back with my next guest, Leah Oman and Ellen Brisley. These are Waterloo students who developed the award-winning disaster relief app. So stay tuned. I'll be right back. My next guests are two 14-year-olds who developed the app AID, which won them the North American Regional Semifinal of the Technovation Competition. So I have in studio with me Leah Oman and Ellen Brisley, who will be talking about their wonderful app that they developed. So thank you so much for joining me in studio this morning. It's a pleasure having you both here.
Thank you for having us.
Leah, you decided to develop this app based on what you had seen when you visited India. What inspired both of you to decide to do this?
Yeah, so when I went to India about a year ago, there were, like you said, bad floods in India. But I wasn't as affected as a lot of people. But at the same time, it was still very scary because, like, we didn't know if we would be able to, like, leave Kerala or how that would work. And then my dad ended up getting, like, stuck on a train. And that was also really scary because, like, you couldn't move forward and there was just water everywhere. But I think what, the way the idea came to be was after I got back from India. My parents are part of this Indian organization called GRMA, and all of the Malayali associations here wanted to, like, pitch in and donate money to the, like, flood relief organizations and whatnot. So what happened was it was just so complicated, like, figuring out where to donate and what would be a reliable resource and things like that.
Yeah, because they have a lot of people who volunteered to donate, but people didn't know where to send stuff and what to do.
All of this information, people don't know where to find it, and it's everywhere. So Leah came to me with this idea while I was actually still in France. So I was in France at the time.
Okay.
So I went to Switzerland for 6 months, so we hadn't seen each other. And she called me up, and she gave me this idea, and we knew about Technovation because we'd done it the year before. So we decided to just go for it. We started researching a lot, came up with our prototypes, and then once I got back, we just started.
Went right for it.
Yeah.
And how did the whole idea, because your grandfather played a role in it too, so tell me a little about that.
Yeah, so actually while I was there, my grandfather, as well as a bunch of other local citizens, were trying to, like, get in give resources to local organizations for helping, because, I mean, they need as much as they can get, right? So, but no one knew what to give, so it was all guesswork, and they had to guess. So it was very complicated.
And you were there when the floods happened in India. What did you see, like, as a person who traveled from here and being in the midst of chaos there? Help people understand the extent of those calamities. What was your experience there?
Yeah, so it was, first of all, it was raining, like, all day. Like, when you go to bed, it's raining. When you wake up, it's raining. It's raining all day. So that's, like, really scary to see the amount of rain, because it's monsoons there. And then also, so, like, my grandparents' place, we live on, like, higher ground, so we didn't get as much flooding, but you can see, like, on TVs, there's, like, full-on, like, trucks being, like, swept over with water and people on boats, and it's really terrifying
to watch. They don't have food and water to drink, right? The basic stuff that people need on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and there's, like, people standing on top of their houses because the water's just so high, and it's really scary.
So when Leah came to you, Ellen, and said, okay, let's do this, this is the plan, what were your first thoughts for both of you? How did this whole idea of aid happen?
Well, first, my first thought was, how are we going to do this? Because Technovation, you're supposed to start in January, and she brought it to us in late March, and I wasn't sure if I was going to join. Mm-hmm. But I really liked the idea, so we decided to just go for it, and we had to do it in a month or 2 months.
Mm-hmm. What is the app about?
So pretty much after a natural disaster, people don't know what resources are needed, where they're needed, what people are looking for, different information in the households that's needed. So gender, health conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And so organizations don't know that information, and donors don't know where to donate, what to donate. And it's all just a problem of communication. So our app would be a place for all of this to be gathered and organized. So victims or people who are affected by the disaster would go in and put in what they need and information about themselves.
Okay.
Then organizations would be able to view this and also communicate with donors. So they'd be able to see totals of standard resources people need and then other more specific stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd also be able to explain to donors what's needed, where, how, and give all that information.
Has this been tried and tested in disaster areas?
Yeah, so currently, so for this competition, we had to make a prototype of our app.
Okay.
So we're still working on making like improvements, and we're talking to like organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving us a lot of feedback that we have to input into our app. And our first step when we're going to release our app, our plan, is to focus on like local situations.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to, it's easier to focus on the organization to donor connection because it's just a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. So we want to start off with something like a food bank and see how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can figure out what other improvements we want to do, because if you put it straight into a natural disaster and there's something that you need to change about the app, it could lead to disaster.
Sure.
As for if the app has been used, we actually got in contact with people from the Red Cross, so international operations. I was actually in Ottawa, so I went to their national headquarters. They gave me a tour, and I explained the app, and they gave us lots of feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was explaining all this, they kind of said, no, there really isn't an app that all organizations use that has all this information.
Mm-hmm.
And then so they just told me that, yes, this is a new innovative idea. Of course, it's been done, but not in the way that we approached it.
Okay. And you coined yourselves string theorists. Tell me about that. Where did that come from?
Okay, so my dad and I were driving up a mountain in France, and I told him about our Technovation idea, and so we had to come up with a name very quickly. And we're trying to come up with bad puns, kind of, bad programming puns. And then we're listening to, so we come up with the string theorists and some Fruit Loop thing, I don't know. And then we're listening to Bohemian Rhapsody, and we immediately think of Boolean Rhapsody, because Boolean is a programming math arithmetic thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bring that up to Leia, and she does not know what Bohemian Rhapsody means. So that was a disappointment. So we decided to go with the string theorists, because physicists are called string theorists, but we're string theorists.
You're in the works.
Yeah.
And with all that you're doing and trying to get this app going, and you also got a scholarship for it.
Yeah.
So what's the plan with having the scholarship, and where are things leading up to?
So we haven't received our scholarship, but we will get it by the end of October, I think. And so we need to figure out what works best for our app, because currently we just need to put in as much programming as possible.
Sure.
And we still haven't decided what we're going to do with the money.
Mm-hmm. Well, we also don't know how this kind of side of the business works. So we need to talk to lots of people who understand all this.
So how do you juggle working on the app and doing everything you're doing and school?
So after Ellen got back from Switzerland, literally every day we were at one of our houses and we were just working. Like right after school, we'd go at home and we just work until like the end of the day. And we'd have to work on it every day because there was like a deadline and you have to finish it by then. Mm-hmm. And usually this amount of work you put in from January. So you have like a good 4 months. But we had to finish this. We had to finish making our app, developing our idea and our pitch. And we had to do it all in the span of 1 or 2 months. So it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. And you both won the junior girls pitch. From what I understand, you won't be able to participate in the world pitch. Is that right? And why would that be the case?
I think they have something like 8 of the semifinalists who go on.
Okay.
And we were kind of like runner ups. We won the next best in North America.
And how has your family supported you in this whole journey? How has that impacted Leia, you and Ellen?
So my parents don't know much about coding, but they are very, very helpful when it comes to pitches and ideas. And they were, anytime I had a question, they were just a constant help answering all this and also allowing us to stay over at each other's houses and drive us places. And it was just, they were there to support us, and it was very helpful.
So at what age, then, did this interest come into you of coding? When did it begin?
I guess last year we joined Technovation and did it.
Okay.
So I guess it was there where we got opened up to the tech industry. Mm-hmm. And then this year we really got into it by using Android Developer and Java. And it really is a... And then we got tours in different tech industries in Waterloo.
Okay.
And it really opened us up to the tech industry and coding, and it seems like a really interesting
thing. So that's where it sparked for you.
Yeah.
And what about you, Leia?
And for me, well, both my parents work in the software field, so they're both like computer software programmers. So I mean, for me, it's the interest comes from like what my parents do, but also like I don't think I would have gone into it much if it wasn't for Technovation. Mm-hmm. And for what my parents do, they do like a lot, so they would, like Ellen said, they let us go to each other's houses, gave us a lot of food. And since my parents both do work in the IT field, they gave us a lot of tips about like how you could do some things, or oh, maybe you can look at it this way. Mm-hmm. And it was and how the user interface was very important. That was another thing that, like, they gave us a lot of tips to help us.
And the interest sparked for you before Technovation, or was it always there that you wanted to get into coding and stuff?
No, actually, for me, it was, well, before, I was like, I never want to get into the IT field because that's what both my parents do. But, I mean, now I'm actually, like, interested and I like learning to code. And I think that's all because of Technovation.
Mm-hmm. And for our listeners who don't understand what Technovation is, can you give us a little heads up on what Technovation is all about?
So it's a worldwide program for girls to get into code. Mm-hmm. So what you have to do is program an app, prototype it, program it, and then pitch it to regional ambassadors and judges.
Okay.
And then you just continue on depending on how they like your app.
Yeah. And also, so this year we were in the junior category, but next year we're going to be in the senior category. And they also have a business side of things. So next year, if we're going to do it again, which we probably will, we also have to look at how the business side of an app would work. And mm-hmm. that's also really cool.
And that takes place in Waterloo region?
It's worldwide. It's a worldwide competition.
But they have, yes. Yes. Waterloo region has a regional ambassador mm-hmm. and they have different... they have different meetups where they explain mm-hmm. different parts
of it. Okay. And how has community helped support this whole venture and the whole journey for you guys, because even the people from Technovation, they've been certain mentors for you, right? And mm-hmm. community, you've reached out to different mm-hmm. organizations who have helped you in some way or the other to learn. So how has community played a role in your lives here in getting to where you are?
Yeah, so one of the main things that Technovation has done is they've given us so many tours at like the Perimeter Institute, okay. Communitech. That was really inspiring for us. Mm-hmm. So that was like one of the main things. And then also there's been like a lot of like, quite a few newspapers that have been like really excited about our app, and they've done a few articles about us. So that was really exciting to see that other people were excited about what we were doing.
And while we contacted the Red Cross, we contacted Bardish Chagger, we contacted FEMA, and they were all so willing to help us, and mm-hmm. that was just a big surprise. And also mm-hmm. the people from Technovation, we sent emails and they were always answering really quickly with lots of help, giving us resources, and that was always just very nice.
So when you decided this was what you're gonna do, did you have any idea talking to media, talking to winning this whole journey? Did you have any idea about it? Were you confident?
We weren't even sure we were going to be able to finish our app, to be honest with you, because there was just so much going on.
Yeah, the last week, was actually in Cleveland for a dance thing, mm-hmm. and I was on the ground in my basement for 8 hours straight, and she was working as much as possible in between her dance rehearsals, and it was just very, very stressful to get the last parts in, because the due date was April 23rd or something, and it was the 22nd, we were just trying to get everything in.
Get it all before the deadline.
We weren't even thinking about how we were going to do. We just wanted to get it in, see how it would do, but we weren't really worried about winning or the news or the media. Yeah. It was just
we had no idea that was going to happen.
What would you tell young girls, younger generation, for people who dream and aspire to get into the tech industry, tech world, from the journey you have experienced? What have you learned through this whole process?
Well, to be honest, for us, it's been quite easy. Well, programming, of course, and developing an app is not easy. It takes a lot of work. Mm-hmm. But with all the support for girls nowadays, especially in Waterloo, because we're such a tech hub, mm-hmm. It's actually really easy to get into programming. And I know we've heard from other people in engineering and programming that it is difficult for women because there are so few of them. But nowadays, especially in Waterloo, we have so many resources. Mm-hmm. And everyone's really excited for girls to get into all this. So you should definitely just go for it if you're interested.
And what about you, Leia? What would you tell young generation and young girls who are looking to join the tech industry, get into coding and do the things that you girls have been doing?
Well, I think that the main thing is just there's so many courses available online. Just get those and just do them. That's basically what we've been doing for like all summer. Mm-hmm. There's so many different things available, and a lot of them are free. So it's becoming much easier for people mm-hmm. to do get into the field. So just get online and look for things.
If people need support, reach out to organizations, right? They're always willing to help and support everybody in this community. Mm-hmm. So what's the next step now that your app is there? You're going to go try it out and, pitch it with different organizations. What happens next?
Well, I mean, developing an app is a constant
evolving
thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're not quite sure where it will go. But
are you going to develop another one?
Maybe. We might join Technovation next year and try another one out. We have lots of experience now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to both Leia and Ellen. Thank you so much. We wish you all the success in all your future endeavors. Thank you for coming into the studios. It's very inspiring.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. If you have a story and want to share it with us, you can email me at onairwith rashmi@gmail.com. You can also follow me on my Facebook page. It's In Conversation with Rashmi, or on my Instagram feed at rashsanj. Until then, have a great long weekend, and thank you for listening In Conversation with Rashmi.